But you know, that was never God's intention, to have things taken from us and for us to be separated from Christ. It was never his intention. And the very reason he came was to give. Now, most of us have probably seen the Christmas show, The Grinch, Who Stole Christmas. Most of us have seen that movie. So for those who haven't, in that story, the old Grinch, he lived alone with his dog high above a place called Whoville. And he plots to spoil Christmas for all the people. But even after the Grinch steals all their presents and all their decorations, the people of Whoville, they still continued with their joyful celebrations regardless of the loss. And the joyful singing reaches up to the old Grinch and it leads him to repent and return everything that he'd stolen. And even though he'd committed this crime against the people of Whoville, they invite him and they welcome him to join them in their time of celebration. And you see, the people of Whoville in this movie are a perfect illustration of the difference between happiness and joy. Even when all their possessions were stolen, no one could take away their joy. You see, happiness and joy are two different things. And I can be happy because I had a good day at work, or I can be happy because someone told me a pretty funny joke, or because finally the wind has died down and I'm able to go fishing. You know, that can make me happy. But you see, joy runs much deeper than that. I can be joyful even when I'm not happy. Because happiness is an emotion and it's a temporary feeling. Yet true joy is an inherent sense of a well-being and a satisfaction that has its roots in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. So God imparts true joy, I'm trying to say, to some common shepherds who were simply going about their business guarding their sheep through the night. And I'm going to read you a portion of scripture that we've read before, that we've probably heard before in relation to this. And it's found in Luke 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. And I've got it here for you guys. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone down around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Verse 13 says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to the God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger." Verse 17, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And when all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Now, we've heard those scriptures before, right? But this is the question: what brings us joy this Christmas? You know, for the shepherds, their joy was pretty obvious. The source of their joy comes from an amazing encounter that they had just had with God and the heavenly host. Yet the same encounter, it's also our source of joy today. And that's the amazing announcement of the birth of Christ, which brought forth joy for the shepherds. And the announcement that Jesus Christ has been born and he's come should be a source of joy for us. Amen. And you know, this is not a fable story. This has not just been made up by some Christian fanatics that that we're getting a hold of each year, what people forget that the birth of Christ is reported and recorded by multiple witnesses in history itself, to the point that it's become an undeniable fact and an undeniable truth and an event that has taken place in history. And even the Bible itself says, out of the mouths or two or three witnesses are all things established. And so we know this account because of the historical witness that it has taken place, and it's a truth. So the very thing that brings us joy is that we know that God is here. Amen? That's exciting. We know even historically that God is here. He has come. We know of these events. And the angel gave the shepherds a sign, and they said, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And it's interesting, just to sidetrack, in Jewish custom, they used to wrap the babies in swaddling cloths, and they will wrap them straight, you know, like a baby. You've seen them when they're young, they just can't move, you know, they're like this. And the reason they would do that, it was actually a sign that the parents would bring the children up in a straight way, in a straight path, in the way they should go. That was what it signified for the Jewish people. And so what did the shepherds find? Well, in verse 16, of course, they found the baby. But friends, this is just not any baby. The angel declared that this child was Christ the Lord in verse 11. And so this is God wrapped in human flesh. God is here. Amen. This is what we're celebrating this time of year. We're celebrating that Christ is here. Hallelujah. God has arrived on the scene. Now, when the wise men arrived, 1 year, 2 months, and 6 days later, now that might surprise or shock you, simply because the nativity scene that the world portrays is not the same as what the Bible teaches. The wise men came later, and they came to a house, and they came to see a young child, a young boy. The wise men didn't come to see a baby in a manger. It was 1 year, 2 months, and 6 days later that they came. And when these men looked into the eyes of this child, they were looking into the very eyes of God. And I can't fathom what that would have been like. If you imagine yourself as one of these men, and you've come to see this young child, and you're looking into the eyes of God himself as a baby. Now, that must have brought them such a joy, such a comfort, such an assurance, knowing that God was here. They had a revelation that it was God. They had a revelation of this child. And here they were looking at this child. That must have done something to their hearts. Amen. They must have known that, man, God is here and he really cares. He's come as a man, as a baby. He is reachable and he is touchable and he's able to be known. And church, that alone should be great cause for incredible celebration and rejoicing for us, knowing that Christ has come. Because God was there then, but he is also here right now. And the thing I love about our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is he's a God that can be found. He's a God that can be known. Amen. It's not some sort of fable. And you know, he's the only God that has risen from the dead and is alive. Every other God is in the grave and dead. Hallelujah. But our God is alive. And he's still doing miracles today. Man, that's got to be a source of joy for us. Excitement. Amen. And so I tell you that we have a joy because we know that God is here. Hallelujah. He is here. And the joy that we have is knowing that God is here and that he is here to save. We know that God saves. And even though the shepherds, they were considered like the lowliest in the culture of Jesus' day. And but God extended to them a personal invitation to come and to see him. However, what is the message that God is bringing to our ears this evening? Friends, it's the same message the angel brought in verse 11, and the message is that a Savior has been born. Hallelujah. That God has been given unto man. Oh man, that's exciting. And it's a message that is echoed from the time of creation, and it will echo all throughout eternity. It's a message that God has invaded our world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ so that He could come and save us from our sins. Amen. That He could save us from ourselves, that He could save us from the wickedness, that He could save us from death and the chaos that is around us, that He's there for us. And we have a joy this Christmas because we know that our God is a deliverer. And it doesn't matter where you find yourselves today. You know, we're all in different places. Some of us might not even know Him this evening, but I'm telling you what, He knows you because He created you. And He has a purpose for your life. Jeremiah says He came to give you a future and a hope. And for you young ones here tonight, you have a future and a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you know it or not, He created you for His purpose. No one's just wandering through this world, wondering what on earth they're meant to do. God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for you because He loves you. And because His promises are true. The Bible says that everything the Lord says is yes and amen. Everything He says is true. He watches over His word to perform it, and it does not return void. The birth of Jesus has been foretold by God hundreds of years before the event actually took place. There was we call that prophecy. And there was all these prophetic words that were spoken that came to pass. But let's just look at one prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, and this is what it says. It says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign, and the virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and shall call him Emmanuel." And that word Emmanuel means God with us. You know, that was spoken years and years before the event happens. So God promised that Jesus would come, and that's exactly what happened. God has promised eternal life for all those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised every spiritual blessing in Christ. God has promised us a home with Him, that we will dwell with Him forever. And for this reason, our joy is found in Christ. We have joy because of His promise to you. So it gives us a question. If God has done all these things, then how should we respond to joy? Are we going to sit around and do nothing? Or is there something that needs to take place in our lives in response to the joy that God has given us, to the promise that He's given us? Man, His promises are amazing. Of course we have to respond. The Bible tells us that we're not just hearers, but we're doers of the word. There's no reason why, you know, the young people today can't be going out and praying for the sick and seeing miracles and the lame walking and deaf ears opening, because the same anointing that raised Christ from the dead abides in you, the Word of God says. Mark 16:17, we say a lot in this church, to those who believe they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's not an issue of gifts, it's an issue of faith. To those who believe, it says this is what they shall do. This is the God that we serve. If we just simply respond to His word and respond to His promise to us. And so the first way we respond is in acceptance. Now suppose tomorrow morning, being Christmas morning, and what do we do Christmas morning? Most people in this culture, we open up some presents. Now suppose tomorrow morning I wake up and we gather our family, usually it's around the Christmas tree and that sort of thing, and we begin to exchange gifts. And to my surprise, when it comes my turn to receive a gift, Sharon hands me the keys to a brand new cruise craft 595 Outsider with a beautiful four-stroke 150 Yammy, with an electric anchor winch, with an aluminium trailer, with what else? A stereo, right? All these sorts of things. And she gives me the keys to this, and this amazing fishing boat is just sitting out on my driveway. There it is. And so how would you expect me to react? to this gift. I'll tell you how I would react. Man, I'll be out there in a flash. I'd have before I put it in the water, I'd have that thing hooked up just to hear the engine, how it purrs. I'd be checking it all out. I'd be racing inside to the freezer, getting my bait, chucking it in that boat, hooking it up to the trailer. Man, we'd be out fishing. I don't care what the wind's doing, we're fishing as fast as possible. But what if I reacted differently? What if I looked at the keys in my hand and I paused and I handed them back to Sharon and told her that I just couldn't accept the gift? Now, I can see some of you guys ready to raise your hand this evening, right? Yeah, you better pass it over this way, mate. I don't want to see that boat causing any problems in your marriage. I'm happy to bless you, brother. I'll take that boat off your hands. Now, some of you would think I was crazy not to accept this gift. But that's what happens to some of us in response to God's gift. You hear what I'm saying? God is offering to all of us peace, forgiveness, eternal life, satisfaction, purpose, acceptance, identity. And we look at him and we say, sorry, I just can't accept the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think it would be strange not to accept the gift of a fishing boat worth 50, 70, 80,000, something like that, how much more strange is it not to accept a gift that is a million or a billion times more in value? Well, it doesn't really have a value. That you can walk through this life and have a peace that surpasses all understanding. To walk through this life and have a hope. To walk through this life and have a purpose. To not have to worry about all the stuff that's going on. To not have to worry about death or if you die, what's going to happen. To not have to have all these concerns because God has done something to your heart and he's given you a peace that surpasses all understanding. He's given you a promise that's yes and amen. He's given you his word. He's given you a future. Man, he said he would favor you and bless you and provide for you. And he says, you know, I feed the birds of the air. How much more can I do for you? And this is what God is saying to us. He said, you know what? I'll do all these things for you. And we want to reject that? It makes no sense. And it happens. So our first response is to accept the gift of God and to receive all that Christ has for you. And it happens by us just taking a step of faith and placing our trust in him. Now, second response is in witness. The Christmas story, it's so easy for us to become focused on ourselves and those that are closest to us. But Jesus came for all. And the joy of Christmas requires us to recognize that God's salvation is not only for us. For example, what did the shepherds do immediately after they saw the Christ child? Well, verse 17 and 18 says they spread the news to others. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. We have heard some incredible things. Each of us have got incredible testimonies where God has taken us through. And our response to joy is to actually spread the message of joy to others because we have the good news. We really do. And most of us here have personally seen or experienced God's provision. God has healed some of you even in this very church. Even last week, there were some people that were healed right here. God did some stuff. You know, and a lot of you have walked through some difficult times. I know some of your testimonies. But you know, God enabled you and strengthened you and gave you the peace to walk through that and gave you the ability to stand when you didn't even think you could stand yourself. You know, and you've come out the other end now. And you know what? You've got a testimony because of what you've been through to get beside someone else and say, you know what? God did this for me. If God can heal me, he can heal you. Right? And so we have a testimony now. And it's a testimony of his goodness. And it's a testimony of his promise. And it's a testimony of his word. And deep down, we all know that we have a message to share to others. And our third response to joy is in reflection. Mary treasured up all these things and she pondered them in her heart. Now, when we ponder something, it doesn't mean it goes in one ear and out the other. It means that we reflect on it. Mary was taking all things that had been revealed to her about this child and she took them into consideration. And our response to joy, and it's necessary that we take the time and reflect upon who God is, reflect upon the promise that He has said to us in His Word, and ask the question, well, what does this mean to me? What does this gift that God is offering mean to me? You know, we've got peer pressure and all that stuff, and I've been through that when I was growing up and got into all wrong things, right? But I knew that I knew that I knew. Even though I got into drugs and I got into all sorts of stuff and hanging around with criminals and whatnot, I tell you what, I knew that I knew that there was a God. I couldn't deny it. Deep down in my heart of hearts, I knew there was something more, and I knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And God got a hold of my life and He changed me. And He did it to me and Sharon at the same time. He used both of us as a catalyst to both come to the Lord. And He changed me, because it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. God's no respecter of men, but if you acknowledge Him and you accept Him and you look to Him and you begin to knock, He'll be found. He will be found. There is no doubt about that. And you know, it's not something that's going to impact your life in a 30-minute message like today. You know, we get to know Him. Just like a relationship with anyone, you get to learn of Him, you get to know Him, you get to be in awe of Him. You begin to worship Him. You begin to honor Him. And it means it takes some time. And so we dedicate some of that time to ponder the great things of God. Hallelujah. And the more time you take to reflect on God and the more time you spend in His presence, the more you will find yourself thinking and acting like God. And lastly, we respond in worship. So I want to come back to this cruise craft again. She bought me a boat 6 months ago. That's right, she did. Yeah. Sharon has given me the keys to this boat. There it is. Of course I've accepted them. Absolutely. And I've just returned from cruising around Moreton Bay and I've caught some snapper and some flathead and some whiting and all this sort of thing. And what do I do when I see Sharon? I didn't hear all that. I don't know if I want to. Of course I thank her. And I praise her for having such good tastes in boats. I kiss her and I hug her and I tell her that I love her. Then I ask her, what's for dinner? No, I don't do that. I've got the fish, that's right. Now all that praise and all that affection towards Sharon is for a gift that's been given me. But it's a gift that I've received, and of course we show appreciation. But let's look at this. This is a gift that's eventually going to wear out. It's going to break down. It's going to fall apart. I can't take it with me when I leave this world, right? And one day it's going to just end up being a piece of junk. Now let's compare that to our response to God's gift of joy found in His Son. God has given me a gift that will never wear out. It'll never go away. It's a gift that makes me whole. You know, when people are searching for something all their lives and they don't know what it is and they find Jesus and receive Jesus and they realize that something has changed in their heart because it's the very thing they've been looking for. It's a sense of being complete when we find Jesus. It makes us whole. It fills a void in my life. Amen. It promises me forgiveness. His Word does. And His Word promises me eternal life and a whole lot of other things. And each and every promise is for eternity because it's God's Word. So how should I respond? Well, let's look back at our shepherd friends again. In verse 20 it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It shouldn't be difficult for us to have an encounter with God and respond in worship. And that's exactly what we've been talking about leading up to this day tomorrow, where we recognize the birth of Christ. We've found joy in God this Christmas, and our response to this is to give Him praise, and is to glorify Him, and to lift His name high for all the things we have seen and heard, for all the things that have happened in your life, and yet you can see the hand of God in it and know it was Him that sustained you. It was Him that was right there by you when you thought He wasn't, but hindsight's a wonderful thing when you look back and go, I thank You, Lord, You were there. Because sometimes it's the hard times and it's the valleys that God uses to bring out the character in us. How else is it going to happen that we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit? And ultimately, this gift of joy from God is the gift of Himself. And He's the gift that keeps giving, and He's the gift that will never let you down. Hallelujah. He's given you the very best gift. You know, you might not even have one present this Christmas, but you can have the greatest gift of all in Jesus Christ. And so the question we ask is, are we going to receive Him today? Are we going to praise Him today? Will you respond to this joy? You know, we don't just share things in church for information's sake. We're not here just to receive some information and go, well, that was interesting, I didn't know that. We're here to receive a revelation, to have our hearts touched by Him. Because it's deep calling unto deep. You know, and He had such a heart for you and such a love for you that He came and He died, that you could be found and not be lost, amen? So we don't respond and just receiving some information. We respond with a heart and a life that's surrendered to Him, because He's worthy to be praised, amen? He is the greatest gift. And God meets us where we are at. Hallelujah. We need to respond in joy to Him. Will you remember this message and receive joy today? And respond in joy because what God has done?